So, imagine for a second that you work on the floor of a major, traditional stock exchange.
Right, like the New York Stock Exchange or something.
Exactly. And because of your specific job there, you know exactly when a tiny, practically unknown tech stock is about to be blasted onto the main board.
Oh, which means instant exposure to millions of eager investors.
Right, you have the date. You have the
Yeah.
exact time. So you quietly buy up a massive pile of that stock the day before. You wait for the public announcement. You watch the price rocket upward. And then you just sell it all for a life-changing profit.
Yeah, and in the world of traditional finance, doing that gets you a guaranteed one-way trip to federal prison.
100%.
I mean, the SEC would freeze your trading accounts before you even had time to, like, pick out the color of your new sports car. It is a textbook felony.
But in the pseudonymous world of cryptocurrency, for a long time, doing that exact same thing just got you very, very rich.
Yeah, insanely rich, actually.
So today, for this deep dive, we are looking at how on-chain analytics are finally turning the tables on crypto insiders. We've got this really fascinating report breaking down insider trading on decentralized exchanges.
It's by Solidus Labs, right?
Yes, exactly. And our mission today for you listening is to explore how investigators are finally policing this digital Wild West. Because let's start with the core tension here. The environment where this crime happens is completely alien to Wall Street.
Oh, it really is a massive paradigm shift. I mean, on Wall Street, you have middlemen everywhere,
Right,
right?
like brokers, clearing houses.
Exactly, regulatory bodies watching everything. But in crypto, specifically on decentralized exchanges or DEXs, everything runs on smart contracts.
And a smart contract is essentially just self-executing code, right? Like, I always think of it like a digital vending machine.
That is the perfect way to look at it.
I put an asset in, the code verifies it, and dispenses a different asset out. There's no human CEO, no corporate headquarters, no compliance officer like reviewing the trade.
That vending machine analogy is spot on. And, because there is no human oversight, it creates this really wild paradox.
How so?
Well, the blockchain offers a level of technical transparency that traditional markets can literally only dream of. I mean, every single transaction, down to the fraction of a penny, is recorded forever on a public ledger.
Right, anyone can look at it.
Yeah. Yet, the pseudonymous design of these networks, the fact that you are just a string of letters and numbers rather than a verified name, it makes misconduct incredibly easy to execute.
Okay, so if I'm an insider, how do I actually pull this off? Let's say I work for, I don't know, a PR agency drafting the press release for a massive token listing.
Sure, happens all the time.
And I know Token X is hitting a massive centralized exchange next Tuesday. Now, I can't buy it on that big exchange yet because it's unlisted.
Yeah.
So, do I have to go hunting for it in the decentralized pools?
You do, yeah. The token is likely already floating around in smaller liquidity pools on a DDEX somewhere. So you take your non-public information, you connect an anonymous wallet to that DEX, and you swap a major asset for Token X.
And by major asset, you mean like Ether or a stablecoin.
Usually, yeah, exactly.
Let's actually pause on stablecoin for a second because we hear that thrown around a lot. That's just a crypto token that is artificially pegged to the value of a real-world currency like the US dollar, right?
Right.
So it doesn't wildly fluctuate while you're holding it.
Yes, it acts as a safe harbor for value in the crypto ecosystem. So the insider uses their stable coins to buy Token X, but if they just dump $10 million into one wallet and buy the token in a single massive
Oh,
transaction,
they'd set off every alarm bell in the market.
exactly, everyone would see this massive whale buying up a tiny token.
So they break it up. The report mentions they use multiple newly created wallets and they funnel the money through what they call bridges or mixers.
Yeah, that's where it gets complicated.
I know a mixer is basically like throwing your digital cash into a giant digital blender with 1,000 other people's money. So when you pull your funds out the other side, no one can prove which dollars originally belonged to you. But what role does a bridge play?
So bridges solve the problem of blockchains not naturally talking to each other.
Okay.
Like, if you have funds on the Ethereum network, but Token X is trading over on the Solana network, you use a bridge protocol to lock up your Ethereum and mint a corresponding value on Solana.
Oh, I see.
Insiders use bridges to jump across multiple chains. They're essentially creating a tangled web of transactions that is just incredibly tedious for investigators to follow.
Right, they're muddying the waters.
Completely. They spread the money out, they buy Token X in small increments across dozens of wallets, and then they wait.
And then Tuesday rolls around.
Yeah.
The massive centralized exchange announces the listing, Millions of retail investors flood in, the price skyrockets, and our insider dumps all those accumulated tokens into the buying frenzy. It's basically like buying up dirt cheap desert real estate through like 50 different anonymous shell companies just 3 days before Disney publicly announces they are building a new mega theme park on that exact spot.
That's it. And the windfall is practically guaranteed. But the thing is, the crime isn't actually over when they sell the token.
Right, because they're still in crypto.
Exactly. They now hold a massive pile of cryptocurrency, but they eventually want to buy a house or a boat or pay off debt in the real world. And that requires fiat currency like actual dollars or euros.
Which means they eventually have to interact with a centralized exchange again to cash out, because those decentralized vending machines we talked about, they don't dispense physical cash into a bank account.
No, they don't. And that transition point is the most dangerous moment for the criminal. They will try to bounce those funds across dozens more wallets through more bridges and mixers, trying desperately to break the visual link.
The link between the illegal accumulation of Token X and the final withdrawal of the profits to their local bank.
Spot on. It's all about breaking that visual chain.
Man, so knowing how complex this hustle is, we really have to look at the scale of the problem. Because the data Solidus Labs published in this report is staggering.
Oh, it really is wild.
In 2023, they analyzed 234 different ERC-20 token listing announcements.
And we should probably clarify for everyone, ERC-20 is simply the technical standard used for creating tokens on the Ethereum network.
Oh, okay.
It's the blueprint most new projects use, so their token is compatible with all the existing wallets and exchanges.
Got it. So out of those 234 major listings, Solidus found indicators of insider trading in 131 of them.
Which is crazy.
That is 56% of the listings they reviewed. We're talking about 411 suspected trading events involving over 100 individual wallet clusters.
Yeah, the volume is massive.
More than half the time a token was listed, someone was front-running the news. How on earth are traditional Wall Street surveillance tools missing something this massive?
Well, traditional surveillance systems were built for a closed-loop universe.
Okay, what does that mean?
Think about the New York Stock Exchange again. It operates a centralized order book. It is a single, heavily regulated server matching buyers and sellers.
Right.
The exchange knows exactly who you are, they see every single bid and ask you place, and they can easily cross-reference your verified identity against lists of corporate executives or known insiders.
But the decentralized world completely shatters that architecture.
Completely shatters it, yeah. A centralized crypto exchange might have incredible surveillance inside its own walls, but if they only monitor their own platform, they only see the post-announcement dump when the token goes live on Tuesday.
Ooh, they are completely blind to the decentralized accumulation that happened on Sunday.
Yes. And that is the fatal flaw of legacy systems applied to crypto. They only look where the light is shining.
I have to challenge this premise, though, because, I mean, the whole point of the blockchain is that it's a permanent public ledger.
Sure.
If I can boot up my laptop right now and see every single transaction ever made on a decentralized exchange, why are we calling this a blind spot? Like, the evidence is literally sitting out in the open.
It is, but the distinction comes down to data versus context.
Data versus context.
Yeah. You are absolutely right that the transactions are entirely public on-chain. The blockchain perfectly records what a wallet address did. It shows, you know, wallet A bought 10,000 tokens at 2 p.m. on a Sunday.
Right.
But the blockchain does not possess the confidential corporate listing calendars. It doesn't have employee HR records or the PR agency's vendor contracts.
Okay, the light bulb just went on for me.
Right.
The blockchain gives investigators the how and the when, but without the who and the why, you don't actually have a crime. You just have a wallet that made a really lucky, highly profitable trade.
Exactly. And that is the exact frustration that birthed a new breed of event-based analytics. Investigators realized that looking at the blockchain in isolation was basically a dead end.
Because it's just numbers.
Yeah. To prove intent, they had to build a bridge between the decentralized ledger and the real world.
Which brings us to the surveillance strike back. The report highlights tools like Solidus Labs' ALO platform. And from what I gather, they tackle this by smashing two entirely different data sets together at high speed.
That's a good way to put it.
You take an off-chain event database, like the exact publication timestamps of every corporate listing announcement, and you overlay it onto the raw on-chain DX trading data.
Yes, you are superimposing the corporate calendar onto the decentralized liquidity pool.
Wow.
And when you do that, anomalous patterns suddenly emerge from the noise. You can see a wallet that sat totally dormant for a year suddenly wake up and buy heavily into an obscure token just 3 hours before a press release goes out.
But, you know, the crypto space is infamous for weird algorithmic trading behavior that looks suspicious but isn't technically insider trading, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So how does a tool like Halo differentiate someone with illegal inside knowledge from someone who's just running a clever, completely legal automated trading strategy?
Well, it requires categorizing different typologies of market behavior, like take maximal extractable value, or MEV, for example.
MEV is fascinating. That's when the specialized computers validating the network, the validators, they see your pending transaction in a kind of waiting room called the mempool, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they reorder the block of transactions so they can slip their own trade in ahead of yours to skim a tiny bit of profit.
Yes. Or consider a sandwich strategy.
A sandwich strategy.
Yeah. An automated bot sees your large order to buy token X in that same waiting room. It calculates that your order will push the price up.
Okay.
So the bot pays a higher processing fee to jump the line, buys the token right before your order goes through, lets your large order push the price up, and then instantly sells the token back to you at the new higher price.
Wow. So it's a digital sandwich where I'm a meat getting squeezed for profit.
A painful but very accurate metaphor. And you also have wash trading, where a single person trades an asset back and forth between their own wallets to create the illusion of massive market demand.
But none of those are insider trading.
No. All of these are forms of mechanical abuse or market manipulation. They rely on speed or creating false market signals. Insider trading is distinctly different because it doesn't rely on speed or bots at all.
It relies entirely on the use of material, non-public information.
Exactly. It's about knowing a secret that the rest of the market doesn't.
Okay, that distinction makes sense, but honestly, it still leaves a massive gray area. I mean, crypto traders are obsessive.
They really are.
They analyze cryptic tweets from developers. They track public GitHub repositories to see when code is being updated. They monitor the wallets of famous investors. If I do my homework, or honestly, if I just get incredibly lucky and buy a token a day before it gets listed on a massive exchange, does this new algorithm automatically flag me as a criminal?
No, no. Timing alone is never enough to build a credible case.
That's a relief.
Yeah. A single lucky trade is just an anomaly. Investigators rely heavily on what are called entity resolution techniques to separate the lucky guessers from the systemic criminals.
Entity resolution. Break that down for me.
It is basically the science of proving that multiple, seemingly unrelated pseudonymous wallets are actually controlled by the exact same human being.
Okay, so it's like a bank robber using 10 completely different getaway cars for 10 different heists.
Sure.
The cars all look completely unrelated on camera. But if investigators find out the robber used the exact same personal credit card to buy gas for all 10 cars on the days of the robberies, the cars don't matter anymore. The funding source ties all of them to one identity.
That is a phenomenal analogy. Investigators cluster wallets based on shared funding sources, common withdrawal destinations, and behavioral quirks.
So they're looking for patterns.
Yes. If an exchange account funded wallet A, wallet B, and wallet C, those wallets are clustered into one entity. And once they cluster those wallets, they look for repetition.
Because repetition completely destroys the lucky guess defense.
Exactly. Let's say a newly clustered entity buys a token with absolutely no previous history of trading that asset. They buy it 12 hours before a major listing, sell it immediately for a material profit, and then they execute that exact same sequence across 8 completely unrelated listings over 6 months.
Yeah, you aren't just getting lucky 8 times in a row on tokens that have nothing to do with each other.
Right. It's statistically impossible.
So the algorithm flags this highly suspicious repeating pattern. The digital breadcrumbs are assembled. How does the dragnet actually close? Because we aren't just trying to ban a wallet address. Authorities want to prosecute the human behind it.
Well, it's all about the convergence of evidence. This is where an evidence-led investigation finally bridges the gap between the blockchain and the real world.
Right.
You take the on-chain data, the swaps, the wallet clustering, the funding sources, and you combine it with off-chain centralized records.
Because as we discussed earlier, eventually that criminal has to cash out to buy their sports car.
Precisely. And the moment they send those funds to a regulated centralized exchange to withdraw their fiat currency, the cloak of pseudonymity just vanishes.
Because they have to identify themselves.
Exactly. Regulated exchanges are required to maintain KYC files. Know your customer documents. They have the user's government ID, passport, IP addresses, and banking details. They also have travel rule information.
Ah, the travel rule.
Yeah.
That's a global standard that was originally designed for traditional banks, right?
Yeah.
It essentially mandates that when financial institutions send money to each other, they have to pass along the identifying information of the sender and the receiver. And now regulators have forced crypto exchanges to comply with it too.
Yes. It ensures there are no dark corridors moving money between regulated entities. So investigators take that KYC and travel rule data and they merge it with internal corporate evidence.
Like what?
Well, they subpoena the centralized exchange that got front run. They pull employee access logs, listing committee meeting notes, and even internal Slack messages.
Wow. And suddenly, it all snaps into focus. You aren't just staring at a string of letters and numbers on a blockchain anymore.
Nope.
You are looking at a specific employee who viewed a highly confidential listing document at 2 p.m., used their personal Binance account to fund a secret MetaMask wallet at 3 p.m., and bought the token on a DNA at 4 p.m.
That is the absolute power of convergence. And, you know, this framework isn't just theoretical anymore. The regulatory landscape has shifted aggressively to pursue these cases.
Yeah, we've already seen the United States' first criminal crypto insider trading prosecution involving a major centralized exchange.
The Coinbase case.
Yes.
Yeah. A former product manager admitted to tipping off his brother and a close friend about which digital assets were scheduled to be listed on the platform.
And they used anonymous Ethereum wallets to front run the announcement.
They did.
And what really fascinates me about that case is the legal angle the prosecutors took.
Yeah.
They didn't have to invent new crypto laws. They hit him with classic wire fraud charges, while the SEC separately pursued securities fraud charges.
Yeah, they used existing tools.
It proved that hiding behind a pseudonymous wallet offers zero protection when authorities can connect those wallets to real-world personal relationships and text messages.
And the jurisdictional net is tightening globally, too. Like, the European Union has rolled out the MiCA framework markets in crypto assets, which explicitly prohibits market abuse, insider dealing, and unlawful disclosure.
And the UK has finalized a dedicated market abuse regime specifically for crypto assets.
Exactly. The Wild West is getting fenced in and fast.
So if you are a crypto company operating today, you can't just cross your fingers and hope your employees are behaving.
Definitely not.
The report outlines a resilient control stack that firms are adopting to survive this new regulatory reality. It's essentially a six-layer defense system. I want to walk through these layers because it shows how sophisticated the internal policing has become. Layer one is information governance,
which is foundational. You have to strictly control who has access to sensitive information, utilizing needle drop access logs and robust non-disclosure agreements.
Right. Standard corporate security. Huh. But layer two gets much more complex. Employee surveillance. I imagine they can't just ask for statements from their employees' E-Trade or Charles Schwab accounts anymore.
Far from it. A modern compliance department has to monitor their employees' self-hosted crypto wallets.
Wait, really? Their personal crypto wallets.
Yeah, if you only watch their traditional brokerage accounts or their corporate exchange accounts, you are completely blind to the trades they are making on decentralized protocols. Employees must declare their personal wallet addresses.
Wow. Okay, then layer three is the event-based analytics we spent time on. Actively correlating your internal corporate events with broader market data.
Yes, the halo approach.
And that bleeds right into layer four. Cross-market coverage.
Because a centralized exchange cannot just police its own walled garden anymore. They have to run surveillance on the decentralized liquidity pools where the assets they plan to list are already trading. They have to monitor the dark forests of the blockchain.
That makes total sense. Layer five is the wallet clustering we discussed, catching those coordinated networks of shell accounts.
The getaway cars.
Exactly. And finally, layer six is typology-specific detection, which, to translate the corporate jargon, means you can't just have one generic burglar alarm on the building.
Right.
You need tripwires specifically designed to catch a window breaker, totally different sensors to catch a lock picker, and a separate alarm for someone tunneling through the floor.
You need distinct, fine-tuned playbooks for insider trading, separate from wash trading, separate from sandwich attacks.
Incredible. So if you're investing in this space, building a company, or even just watching from the sidelines, the major takeaway is this. The blockchain is not a cloak of invisibility.
Not at all.
It is a permanent, indestructible receipt. Decentralization doesn't magically eliminate insiders, human greed, or conflicts of interest. It just changes where the trading happens and how the evidence is assembled.
That's the real takeaway here.
Understanding that surveillance technology now follows liquidity wherever it moves, even into the deepest decentralized pools, is crucial to safely navigating this market.
And, you know, if we look at the bigger picture, this reality raises a really profound question for everyone listening. The blockchain is an immutable public ledger. In traditional finance, paper trails can be shredded, hard drives can be mysteriously wiped, human memories fade, and evidence degrades over time.
Sure, things get lost.
But on-chain evidence lasts forever. Every swap, every bridge, every mixer attempt is sitting there, frozen in amber.
Just waiting for the analytics tools to catch up.
Precisely. As entity resolution technology and off-chain data integration become exponentially more powerful, especially driven by AI in the coming years, is there a ticking clock on every unpunished crypto insider trade from the past decade?
Wow.
The perfectly executed, completely untraceable crime of yesterday might just be waiting for tomorrow's software update to be violently exposed.